Again, it's good to be with you all this fine morning. Certainly good to be here myself. We're going to start something that we'll also talk about tonight. It's kind of a series, I guess, but it'll probably be more of a Sunday evening series, but I wanted to start it this morning just because I really wanted to, and that's really the only reason for it. But there is something so fantastic about the promises that God gave to Abraham. And oftentimes we think of two of the three promises. There was the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise. And we think of the two of the three as a physical promises. And we're missing out. We're missing out on beautiful pictures of God's Word. All three of them are spiritual. Not that there's not physical ideas about them as well, and not that they weren't physically fulfilled also, but the real intent of it all was the New Testament. And so that's kind of what I want to deal with a little bit in this lesson. You look at the promise of the seed, you know, the promise of Jesus that God gave to Abraham, and that was a physical promise just as well as the land promise was, that land of Canaan, or that great nation promise that he gave to them. I mean, all those things literally, physically happened. Even the fact that Jesus came to this earth, that was a very physical coming. But we understand the spiritual ideas behind the coming of the seed and the blessing of all nations through that seed. So we've already, I'm sure, considered some of the spiritual ideas, but it may be, as it is with me, I've not considered all of the spiritual realities or the promises that God gave to Abraham. And so that's going to be what we're going to be dealing with. But to start out, and really the way that we're going to be considering the promises of Abraham is in contrast to the sins in the garden, or the sin in the Garden of Eden. That's what started it all. And without the sin in the Garden of Eden, there wouldn't be the need of the promises given to Abraham. Those promises of salvation were given to him because man had sinned and man had been cursed. And various things had been cursed because of the sin of man. It is interesting to me to see how the promises that God gave to Abraham kind of counteract, for lack of a better word, they counteract the curses that were seen in the Garden of Eden. When you look there in Genesis chapter 3, which you're already there, I'm not there yet. I put it up there on the board before I turn to it. But in Genesis 3 and verse 17, he says, God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so we have the terrible curses of sin. This is just a part of it. The other curses here in the text we'll save for coming lessons. But this ground curse, it was a land curse. Things were going to be hard as far as the land. Things were going to be difficult as far as being able to produce fruit from the land, which obviously before that it wouldn't have been, evidently. And the land, the Garden of Eden, it was so lush. And there was this water, that would nourish the plants and feed the plants that came from underneath the earth at that time. It's described there in the Genesis record, and so things were easier. But now, what do we have? Well, things are difficult, and we get rain, and God provides food. But it can be more challenging, and there can be droughts, and there can be famines, and there can be all kinds of different difficulties and problems. And even still, it's very hard, and it takes a long time to be able to grow food. And so those are going to be some of the challenges, along with thorns and thistles, weeds, and all of this that evidently, that wasn't a thing, back before sin. But now that there's sin, there's thorns, there's thistles, there's weeds, there's all kinds of things, tares of the ground, and all of this. And this is because God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you." At the end of verse 17, he said, "In pain you shall eat of it the days of your life." So there was going to be trouble in the ground. There was going to be pain that would come to man because of the ground, because of the land. And the problems with the land and the ground, they just continue to come as we see the Genesis record kind of focuses. One of its focuses is on the ground. One of the very next things we see is the blood of Abel being received into the ground, and God, in fact, says, "I, the voice of the Abel's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And then, shortly after the record, anyway, it was several thousands of years, but shortly after the record in Genesis, we see the entire land is destroyed. Man and beast, except for those who were on the ark, destroyed by the waters of the flood. And so what do we have? But before that time, the land was lush. It was blessed. It was well nourished. And after that time, there's thorns and weeds and famine and drought and difficulty and pain in being able to live off the land and survive and to thrive. There is blood that has been received into the soil. And then what else did God say to Adam? A part of this, at the end of verse 19, a part of all of it is the fact that you would return to the ground, he told Adam. And so now we have a ground of corruption. Adam's going to turn to dust. All men will turn to dust, return to the ground. And so this ground that is cursed is filled with corruption. When Lamech had Noah, he said something that I find interesting. I don't know a lot about it. I can't tell you much about it, but it's interesting. Genesis 5:28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed," he's talking about what happened in the garden, "this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." And so we have Lamech speaking about this. And God recorded it for us. That's what's interesting. It must have something to do with something, because God recorded the purposes here of Lamech in naming his son Noah, which oftentimes we call the name Noah comfort, but really relief is the idea. Relief from toil. And this was all because, Lamech said, because God cursed the land. And so there was something about Noah. Of course, Lamech's father, Lamech's grandfather was a great prophet, Enoch. We don't know who Lamech was. We know Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he comes from a line of prophets, if you will. So we don't know a lot about Lamech, but he says this, you know, this one will bring us relief. And so we have a land of corruption, a land of sin and dust and blood and death, all of this and toil. And Lamech says that Noah will bring us relief from our heavy burdens. And when you look at Noah, it's interesting. As Peter in the New Testament spoke of, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the flood, being an antitype, the ark, rather, being a like type to baptism, which Peter says now saves us. And so there was something about the restoration that the flood brought in destroying the world and bringing in a new heavens, new earth, as a new start with this righteous man, Noah. And the ideas that the spiritual ideas that are behind all of this is that just as we go through the waters and Jesus gives us rest, relief from our painful toil and sin, so Noah was a type of that as well. And Lamech had pinned that concept down. As I said, the book of Genesis follows this. It continues to repeat the problems with the ground. It wasn't like that lush garden where water always was just coming up, from the ground. We don't have that anymore. Still don't to this very day. And we're reminded of that constantly in the Genesis record. Abraham, he dealt with it. He was a man of faith. He dealt with it. Famine, severe famine. He had to get up and leave, Same thing happened to Isaac. Same thing happened to Jacob. And you look at these patriarchs, and each one of them dealt with this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dealt with these problems of the ground that was not a problem before sin. Now, what is interesting about this is that each time you see these people of faith, they're dealing with the effects of sin just like everybody else. Each time you see God coming and blessing these individuals of faith. Enoch, he lived on this painful soil, but because of his life with God, God took him. He didn't see the death. His body didn't see that dust returning to the ground. What a blessing. Noah, with all the... We see salvation, in Noah through the ark. With Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, You have the land of toil, but what does God say to Abraham? He says, I'm going to bless you with a land. A land. And that land will be well described all throughout the biblical text, Old Testament into the New Testament. We'll get into the New Testament tonight as to understanding exactly what this land was that Abraham was promised and what he was waiting for. But you look at these famines, each time God counteracts, you know, with a blessing to these individuals of faith. And you realize that these things, you know, it's not of ourselves. You know, it's not of us. It's all from God. What is from us is the toil and the pain from sin. That's what's from us. And when God blesses, He blesses, you know, by His own favor. And particularly of His favor of those who are of faith in Him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all saw famines, but notice how God blesses them immensely. In fact, one of these places here, I've got a lot of things up on the board that I'm not going to, but you know, if you write it down, you can go to it on your own. But here's one of these places with Isaac in Genesis 26 and verse 12. Notice, it says, and Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. That the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. Look at that. In the ground that God had cursed, Isaac tosses his seed in 100-fold. What's the point here? You know, there is a point. There is a point to this. As he said in the middle of this, the Lord blessed him. You know, we are nothing without the Lord. And our salvation is not. It's nothing. There is no salvation without Him. And so you go now to these promises, Genesis 12, these promises that God made to Abraham. And you see that, you know, we are a cursed people because of our sin. And all of us have sinned. But by the blessings of God, by what He does, not by what we did, because we messed up, but by what He does, there's salvation. The blessings of God. Let's see. Oh. Pay no attention to that Deuteronomy 26 up there on the board. I'll get to that in a moment. But Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God speaks nothing but blessing here to Abraham. He continues in verse 6, says, Abraham passed through the land to the, he's come now into Canaan. He passed through the land to the place of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And, you know, here's the beginning of it all. When you have God cursing the land in the garden. You know, it was such a beautiful land. It was so lush, so blessed. And it's cursed. Thorns, thistles, weeds, difficult to grow anything. And then God blesses. God blesses man. He blesses Abraham with a land. And you look at this land. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15 is one of the many places you see. He says, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and what? And bless your people, Israel, and the ground that you have given us as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So, the land was cursed because man sinned, but God promises Abraham salvation. He promised Abraham blessing. He promised Abraham a land that is described as something very unlike the curses in the garden. A land that's really described a lot like the Garden of Eden, in fact. It doesn't appear as a land that is cursed, a land that is covered in sin and blood and corruption. A land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing. It's not toilsome land. It's not a cursed land. That's not the description of it. It is a land that is abundant in blessing, just like the Garden of Eden was. It just flows with milk. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, you look at the milk flow of cows. I mean, even to this day, there's dairy farmers are focused on always on the milk flow of their cows. And, how critical is that? And it all has to do with the environment. It all has to do with the land. You get a low milk flow, it's because the land's not that great. Hasn't been a lot of rainfall and these kinds of things. And so you have low milk flow. But you get a high milk flow because the land is lush. The land, is just, you're getting a lot of rain, a lot of nourishment. Everything's growing. The cows are able to eat in abundance, and they have a very high milk flow. Land flowing with milk, land flowing with honey. Again, the production of honey is all, dependent upon pollen, the plants, all the food, everything that grows from the ground, and the tomatoes and corn and all that, there's so much pollination that needs to take place, and so if the land is just flowing with honey, that tells us that it's not a land of toil. It's not a land of burden. It's a land of rest. Land of rest. That was the intent of it all. Just as Lamech said of Noah, he'll give us rest from our toilsome labor. He'll bring a salvation. What God promised Abraham was a land of rest. They wouldn't have that kind of toil from the curses of sin. Now this, on a physical level, we're seeing this. And maybe also we're seeing it from a spiritual level. But it is so critical to see that this is all about Christ. This is all about what He would accomplish and how we would be blessed by God, by Jesus, by what He would do. And in taking away what we have been cursed with, by these sins in which we are heavy laden, we have toiled, we are very burdened as people in sin. But what Christ promises, what God promised Abraham was Christ. and in promising the land that was described as a land of rest, a land without toil, a land just so abundant and rich in God's blessings. This would happen in Christ. Now, there was a model of this, of course, and that was the land of Canaan. But that was only a model. You know, the land promise, as we'll especially be able to develop when we come back tonight, the land promise was all about a spiritual land. Just as in the Old Testament, that physical land of Canaan, that physical temple, all of it was a model of the realities that would come spiritually in Christ Jesus. When you look at, this is so interesting, you look at the Garden of Eden, I know the words are a little bit small on this slide, but when you look at the Garden of Eden versus how God described the descendants of Abraham, I find it fascinating that they're described so similarly. You look at Genesis 2 and verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. And then notice how God describes the descendants of Abraham, Israel. In Numbers 24 and verse 5, He says, "How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel." He's talking about the people. Okay, they haven't even entered into the land of promise, all right? They haven't even come to their Eden. He's talking about people. He says, how lovely. He says, verse 6, they're like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from His buckets, and His seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and His kingdom shall be exalted. He's not talking about land. It's not about land. It's about the people. The people were to be blessed by the covenant, by their faith in God. And you see that when they're there, these people, they build this tabernacle. God commanded them to do it. He told them exactly how to build the tabernacle. Later it was the temple, once they settled, much later, once they settled. But you have that tabernacle, and God describes it. In Exodus 29, verse 44, He says, "I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." This kind of language, you know, we haven't seen this since Eden, where God walked among the trees with man. And you see the promises of Abraham unfolding here with this Israel. God has purchased them with the precious firstborn blood out of Egypt. He's made a covenant with them. And by the purchase of blood, firstborn blood, and by the covenant being enforced, He is able on this scale anyway, in this tent, this house, to dwell, as he says, dwell among the people of Israel. And so we're getting a glimpse of the Garden of Eden again. I mean, what is the Garden of Eden? It's the blessed life with God. And you have that tree of life, which is so symbolic of man dwelling, living with God. And so we're seeing that God's land promise to Abraham was fixated on the idea of sin, on the idea of the removal of sin, making a covenant with man so that God can have a relationship once again with man. And so everything that that God says to Abraham is really in response. Every blessing that God gives to Abraham is in response to the effects of sin that we originally saw in the Garden of Eden. We're out of time. I'm leaving this undone because we haven't gotten to the main event yet as far as what God was really saying to Abraham as far as this land where rest would be had. Toil and sin is done with. And we'll see that developed in the prophets and in the New Testament, Lord willing, tonight. This invitation song, quite fitting for this lesson, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." This is what it was all about. This is what God was saying to Abraham. This is what came in Jesus. He can take away your sins. He can bless you by taking away your sins. We don't have the toil. We don't have that burden anymore. We are clean and blameless and pure before God. We have rest. If you have not come to the Lord for that very purpose, and you're resolved in your mind this morning to do so, then please don't hesitate. Come in the obedience to your Savior in faith. Repent of your sins. You don't need that. You don't need to be burdened with that anymore. You don't need to be, loaded down with the curses, eternal curses that sin brings. Have the Lord lift those things and take them away. Repent of them. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If that's your need, then please come forward while together we stand and sing.